The main sugyas that deal with the process of gyrus come up on Memvavim Aleph and Memvavim Beis. That's really the main sugyas of the whole process of gyrus. What we're dealing with right now, and what we're going to deal with for the next 2 weeks, let's say, is the process of gyrus. There's a whole separate discussion, besides for the process of gyrus, as to what does it mean to be Megayer? What exactly is it? If you don't think about anything, if you didn't have any intentions to be Megayer, you're just doing it for fun, and you're going to have Mila and Tefillah for fun, so what does that mean? Does that accomplish anything? Does that not accomplish anything? What we're discussing right now is really just the process. There's a separate discussion as to what do you have to have in mind? What's your kavana? What does it mean to be Megayer? The Rav in Kol Dodi Dofek, when he gave his speech, so there's also footnotes, which has a lot of lundas in the Sigurds of Gears. But in there, he also discusses the role that, just parenthetically, that Mila and Tfila play, and that the process itself is also part of the machshava and the kavana behind the gears also. So it's nice if you have time to look into that. It's in Kol Dodi Dofek, in one of the prakim there. So we're going to discuss the Gemaras and Yevamos. There's the sugya in Krisos, the three lines in Krisos, also have a discussion as to what the process of gears is. The Gemara in Krisos on Daf Tesman Aleph says, Rabbi Omer, Kachem, Kavoseichem, this is this pasuk of Kachem, that the ger is like the Yisrael, came up in 2 weeks ago, a week ago, in Parsha Shlach. The Kachem, Kavoseichem, Avoseichem, lo nechlesu lebris, ela b'mila b'tfila v'hartzas dam, afheim lo yichnesu lebris, ela b'mila b'tfila v'hartzas damin. We learn from the Avos, specifically referring to Har Sinai, that just like by Har Sinai, when we became the Jewish people, how did that happen? What was the process? It happened through Mila Tfila and Hartzas Damin, which is referring to Karbanos. So too, for us, in order to be Megayer, for some person to be Megayer, you need Mila Tfila and Hartzas Damin. The Gemara, I forgot to quote it, the Gemara there discusses what happened to Karbanos nowadays. Nowadays that we don't have Karbanos, how do we have Gerus at all? So the Gemara discusses that, and we're gonna deal with it probably next week. So from this Gemara alone, it seems like you need to have Mila, Tfila, and Karbanos. They need to have Mila and Tfila. Let's say nowadays you just need to have Mila and Tfila. That's what it sounds like from this Gemara. But then when you jump into the sugya by us in Yevamos, there's a whole discussion about what do you need, which is a little strange because we had Rebbe and Krisus just tell us you need Mila and Tfila. And that's necessary. And over here, we have Tana Rabbanon, Ger Shema V'lo Tavol, if you have Mila V'na Tfila, Rav Eliezer Omer, Hariza Ger. So then you are a Ger. If you have Tfila V'lo Mila, Rav Yeshua Omer, Hariza Ger. If you have Tfila without Mila, Rav Yeshua says, it's a Ger. The Gemara is going to say, even Rav Eliezer agrees to this. And the Chachamim, the one who we pass him like, Chachamim Omrim Tavol Oma, Ma V'lo Tavol, Eo Ger, Ad Sheyamol V'yitvol. That you need Mila and Tfila, which fits with the Shita of Rebbe in Krisos. So the first question you have to ask is, what's the connection? How do you fit this Gemara with the Gemara in Krisos? Rebbe in Krisos says that you need to have Mila and Tfila, and over here we have a whole discussion whether you need to have both Mila and Tfila, what happens if you have Mila without Tfila, if you have Tfila without Mila, how does this whole discussion fit with the Gemara in Krisos? That's a simple question that you have to ask. So you could say that they just argue. Say that they argue, that Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua argue on the Shita of Rebbe in Krisos, and that the Chachamim here agree with Rebbe in Krisos. That's what you could say. There are other options that are given. Another way of explaining it, which is something that we're going to deal with today for the rest of today's shir, is perhaps the Gemara in Krisos is just a Lechat Tfila. You could potentially say that the Gemara in Krisos is just a Lechat Tfila. It could be Ma'akiv, that it fits with the Chachamim to say that it's Ma'akiv. Really, you have to have Mila and Tfila, and that fits with Rebbe in Krisos. Or you could say that really Gemara in Krisos is just a Lechat Tfila, and that these opinions of Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua, they say what's Ma'akiv, maybe Mila alone, maybe Tfila alone. But perhaps these opinions also hold that if you hold Mila works alone, perhaps they also hold that Tfila is required as a Lechat Tfila. Still good to have Tfila. If you hold that Tfila works alone, so then maybe also Mila works, is necessary as a Lechat Tfila. That's what you could say in terms of the Gemara, to put the two together with the Gemara in Krisos. There's a little bit of a problem with this, because the Gemara in Krisos says, I forgot to quote it, says, what do you do nowadays with Karbanos? The Gemara asks, if you need to have a Korban, then what do you do nowadays with Karbanos? And so they have a drasha to say how it's not necessary nowadays. There's only in the times that you can bring a Korban, so then it's necessary. Now that we don't have Karbanos, we don't have to be Smithish, so it's not necessary. And we're going to deal with that in a few shiurim. But the fact that they have the question of nowadays that we don't have a Korban, so then how do you have such a concept of Geirus? So that seems to imply that the Gemara over there is not referring to an Al-Khathila level. It seems to imply that it's on Al-Khathila level. You could, as a Dochuk, say that, no, only Mila and Tfila, that was a discussion on Al-Khathila level. Everyone assumed that Hartzell's Dhamim, the concept of having Karbanos, that's Ma'akiv. Hartzell's Dhamim is Ma'akiv, and therefore the Gemara has its question on Hartzell's Dhamim. But the Pashup Shot seems to be that really it is Ma'akiv there, and the fact that they ask the question of how do we have Karbanos nowadays for Gerim, now that we don't have a Karban, it seems like the Pashup Shot in that Gemara is that it is Ma'akiv. But you could suggest that it's just on a L'Chatzkila level, and we'll discuss today whether Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, when they say you just need one and not the other, so then perhaps they're also referring to only on that they hold that on Al-Khatil level you need the other one as well. The Rav wants to give a third explanation of how to fit the two Gemaras together. He has this in, they quote this in Igros HaGrid, in Hilchos Yisuri Via. I don't know if they have it in the library. I'd be surprised if they do have it in the library. They do have it? Oh, they have it, okay. So the Igros HaGrid in Hilchos Yisuri Via, you can look it up. So he discusses this. He has a long piece on Geirus there. And so he wants to say that really everyone agrees that you need everything. Everyone agrees to the Gemara and Krisos. Even Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, they also agree that you need Mila and Tfila, you need everything, and Hatzos Damim when it applies. But there's two different parts to the Geirus process. The way he calls it is that there's a Chovas HaGeirus, and then there's the Maisa HaGeirus. He explains that you need all three for the Chovas HaGeirus. In order to be a complete Geir, you need to have all three, or let's just focus on Mila and Tfila. You need to have Mila and Tfila. Everyone agrees to that. That you need to have that in terms of the Chovas HaGeirus. In terms of the Maisa HaGeirus, that's the discussion in Yevamos. The discussion in Yevamos is about the Maisa HaGeirus. What's necessary for the Maisa HaGeirus? What's the difference between these two terms, Chovas HaGeirus and Maisa HaGeirus? So Maisa HaGeirus is about what's necessary in terms of, let's say, a Beis Din. We're going to see later on that you need to have a Beis Din in terms of just like the formal process to have the minimal amount to be defined as a Jew, let's say. That's the Maisa HaGeirus. In terms of Chovas HaGeirus, it seems like you need more in terms of other aspects of being Jewish. And that would have ramifications in terms of korbanos. The Rav wants to say that everyone would agree that you need Mila and Tfila in order for you to be Jewish in the sense that you're able to now bring a korban as a Jew, so you need to have Mila and Tfila. Or, we'll see that there are other nafkaminas that some Rishonim bring in terms of being able to marry a Jew. Perhaps Mila alone or Tfila alone would work to make you Jewish. You're now chayav in mitzvah. But in order for you to be able to have the status where you're a Jew, to marry another Jew, so then that requires, everyone would agree that would require both Mila and Tfila. That's what the Gemara in Krisos is talking about. That's what Chovas HaGeirus is referring to. It's either referring to bringing Karbanos or to marrying another Jew. But the Gemara in Yevamos here, that's just discussing the Maisa HaGeirus in terms of what's just necessary to have that minimal standard of being a Jew. What is that Maisa which requires Beis Din? We're going to discuss that we need Beis Din. What's that minimal amount that's necessary for Beis Din? So we're not going to discuss the various ramifications now. This is just more of like an introductory shiur to see what's out there. As we go through the sugyas, we'll get to these Rishonim who differentiate between the different levels of Geirus. A very interesting idea. It's not just all or nothing, but there's really different levels of Geirus. That's what the Rav wants to suggest. And we'll see the various riots he brings down as we go through the different sugyas. So just a review. We have a seeming contradictory sugyas between the Gemara and Krisos and Yevamos. Krisos seems to imply that you need to have Mila and Tfila. And the sugyas here imply that there's a whole machlokas about it, whether you need Mila alone, Tfila alone, or you need both, according to the Chachamim. So either it's machlokas, or the Gemara and Krisos is just as a lechatchila, that even if you hold that all you need is Mila or Tfila, still they potentially hold as al chatila, you'd also need the other one. If you hold mila is necessary, perhaps tefillah is just al chatila. If you hold tefillah is necessary, then perhaps mila is still al chatila to have the mila. And then we presented this opinion of the Rav, who says that really everyone agrees that mila and tefillah are necessary. It's just as an added component to the gerush process. The minimal basic level is mila alone or tefillah alone, depending on the opinions of Rav Elazar and Rav Yeshua. But to fulfill it at its highest level, you would need this chovas gerush of mila and tefillah. So now that we presented this idea of having mila and tefillah, either Chacham hold, for sure hold, and Rebbe, Chacham for sure hold that you need to have mila and tefillah. Rav Elazar holds that you need mila alone, and we're going to see, or tefillah alone work. Rav Yeshua holds that tefillah alone works. Mila alone does not work, but tefillah alone does work. According to the Chachamim, we'll start with the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that there are two stages in the process. There's mila and tefillah. So there are a couple of sugyas where they discuss two stages to accomplish something. There's a concept of beis dvar hamatir, mimalim zeh v'lo zeh. When you have two stages in a process, how does it exactly work when you have two stages? Is it that you need to accomplish both stages in order to fulfill the end result, and until then you've accomplished nothing? Or that each component is really addressing a different issue? The meal is addressing one thing, the tool is addressing something else. Or there are various cases. There's chalitza and rikika is one example. That by chalitza, you need to do chalitza, you have to remove the shoe, and you also have to do rikika, you have to spit. There are other cases of that this is discussed of, like, if you have a woman who's engaged, so to be matir her neder, you need to have the father matir, and you need to have the husband, the engaged husband, matir the neder. They both have to be matir the neder. So there's a whole discussion there about, let's say one of them does it, but not the other one. Does it accomplish anything? Is anything accomplished? Or no, that nothing is accomplished until both of them do it. So this is a discussion that comes up a few times in Shas, where you have two stages. And the question is always, is nothing accomplished until you finish both stages? Or that no, by having one without the other, still something is accomplished. And so according to the Chachamim, we're going to discuss this at length over the next 2 weeks, is something accomplished by just having one without the other? By having mila without tefillah, is something accomplished? Or let's say you have tefillah without mila, according to the Chachamim, is something accomplished? And so there are different ways of going about this. This is really just an introduction of things to look out for in the next couple of days. You can either view this as two stages, the mila and tefillah. The mila is one stage and the tefillah is another stage. And this could come out in two different ways. If you view it as two stages, you could either say that the mila, and you'll see that different Rishonim have different Lashonos here, the mila of a ger, somebody who's not Jewish, he's not Jewish and he's becoming Jewish, the mila removes the arelus aspect of his not being Jewish. He's no longer an arel. So after the mila, before the tefillah, he's in the status of not being an arel. Let's say he's not a non-Jew, but he's not a Jew yet. Is it possible to have this in-between status where you're not Jewish, but you're also not Jewish? Is it possible to have that in-between status? You remove the arelus, but yet he has not yet come into being a full-fledged Jew, or a Jew at all. That's one option if you have two stages. Another option is something which this is the Lashon of the Rashba, which a lot of the Achronim deal with, whether to take it literal or not. The Rashba has a Lashon to say that after the Mila, before the Tefillah, he has the status of a mixas Yisrael. It's not that he's not Jewish, he has the status of a mixas Yisrael, and then after he does the tefillah, so that makes him into a complete Yisrael. So we'll see that within these two stages, these are these two ways of going about it. If you assume that it's one stage, that really nothing happens until you finish the whole mila and tefillah process, so then there are also two ways of viewing this situation. So if it's one stage, you could say, kipshuto, that nothing happens, absolutely nothing happens, until the end of the mila and tefillah, and both the mila and the tefillah are part of the process of the gerus, that they're both part of the process. The other way of explaining it is that, no, really the tefillah is the gerus process. If you define what is the process in gerus, really it's just the tefillah. the milah is just a necessary condition prior to the tefillah. It's not really part of the gerus process. It's just a necessary condition which has to happen prior to the tefillah, which would then have ramifications in terms of the order. Something to think about later on, in terms of the order. Does it have to be that the milah has to happen before the tefillah? Could the tefillah happen first and then the milah? Well, if the milah is the necessary condition prior to the tefillah, and really the tefillah is the ikar gerus, so then you would think that you need to have a specific order of milah and then tefillah. So that's going to be a big discussion, which we'll get to also in the coming days. But these are just some things to think about. When you look at the Lashonis of the Rishonim, you can see there's a Rashi which you've seen today. If you look at Rashi Mevavah Ben Aleph, Vasinu Shemalu, that Rav Elazar says that milah alone works because Hareza Gerusha came Atzinu, Vasinu Shemalu Velo Tavlu. They had milah without tefillah. He held that there was no tefillah in the midbar, at least at the time of Matan Torah. So what does Rashi say about Vasinu Shemalu? Bimei Moshe Kishiyotu Mitzrayim V'yotu Mechlal B'nei Noah. They left being part of B'nai Noah. It's interesting, Rashi doesn't say that they became Jewish. He doesn't say that through Mila alone they became Jews. He says that they were Yatsu Mechlal B'nai Noah, L'kabal Ator V'l'kabal P'nei Ashkina. Now again, you have to remember the context here. We're within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer here holds that Mila alone works. So Mila here is accomplishing everything. So the lashon that he uses of Yatsu Mechlal B'nei Noah is potentially just within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that Mila alone works. So Mila happened at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So his language is that Yatsu Mechlal B'nei Noah, it's clear that you become Jewish. It's clear that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's the only stage in the process. We're not dealing with an opinion here that holds that there are two stages. There's only one stage here. And he uses the language that you just left being a non-Jew. So at the very moment that you're leaving being a non-Jew, you are also becoming Jewish. But the focus is on the fact that you're leaving becoming a non-Jew, but then at that very moment you become Jewish. So within this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, it's not going to make that much of a difference because you are becoming Jewish at that very moment. It's not like you're at a stage here where you left being a non-Jew and you have not yet become Jewish. You are becoming Jewish here because there's only one stage according to Rabbi Eliezer. But it's important to look at the nuances of how they phrase what the transformation is. Is it them leaving being Jewish? Is it them about becoming a Jew? It'll also be important, which is going to lead to our next discussion, is within Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. That's all we've discussed the Chachamim until now. These two stages and the different ways of viewing these two stages. The question is whether you could potentially have these distinctions also within Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua hold that there's just one stage. That there's, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's Mila alone works, Tzvila alone works in the end of the day. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's just the fact that Tzvila alone works. So according to those opinions, if you hold that L'chatchila, you also need the other one as a L'chatchila, so then you would need both, even according to these opinions. Right? They hold that really just, as the letter of the law, you just need one or the other. So we're going to see, that's what we're going to discuss for the rest of our time, whether, only 10 minutes, but we'll see how much we can cover. If you hold that you also need it as a lechatchila for the other stage, so then, if you hold that you need it as a lechatchila, so then perhaps the two stages are really, on a lechatchila level, dealing with two different parts of the process. The same issues that we've been discussing for the Chachamim, that they're potentially two different parts of the process, so then on a L'chatzchila level, you can also say the same things for Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. If you hold that they need the other part as a L'chatzchila, so then you could view it as really two different stages on a L'chatzchila level, and each stage is accomplishing something else. It's true. As a B'dieved, it's just one stage, according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But as a L'chatzchila, perhaps they're being viewed as two different stages. So now let's deal with whether Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether they hold that they need Mila or Tefillah, each one alone, as a L'chatchila. So let's first deal with Rabbi Yeshua. So I'm just going to read the Gemara quickly, just to get down the Gemara. I'll skip a little bit, but it's a little bit of a confusing Gemara to get down all the Pshitas. So Tana Rabbanan, Ger Shema V'lo Taval, if you kneel without tefillah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hariza Ger, you're a Ger, why? She came at Sinab Abusenu, Shema V'lo Tavla. Abusenu, which is referring to the Dora Midbar, they didn't kneel without tefillah. We'll see that Rabbi Yeshua later argues, because he held that they did do tefillah in the midbar. Tavlu v'lo malu. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Hariza Ger Shekem Atzino b'imahos Shetavlu v'lo malu. We find by the imahos that they did tefillah without milah. There are achronim I don't want to get into now, but if you had the question, there are achronim who discuss why do you have to prove it from the imahos that they did tefillah without milah. Every woman who goes through a Gerus process nowadays also, you just prove it from. The concept that women could go through a Gerus process, they don't have milah. So the very fact that they don't have milah, you don't have to come onto the Dor Midbar by the imahos. Just every woman, when they go through the Gerus process, they have tefillah without milah, so you can prove it from there. So that's not a discussion. I don't want to get into it, but just if you had that question. So Kama Omrim, Tavav lo mal, mavav lo taval, eo ger ad she yimol v'yitzbol. So Kama Mahom, no, they argue on both shitas, and they say that no, you need to have milah and tefillah. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yeshua nami nelech mi avos, so why Rabbi Yeshua should agree to Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar nami nelech mi imahos, they should agree to imahos. So in the end of the day, I'm going to skip a little bit, at the end of the day, the Gemara says that really Rabbi Elazar also agrees to Rabbi Yeshua. They both hold done and Efsher Mishii Efsher. We can learn from women who they don't have the concept of milah, we can learn from them to men who have the concept of milah, and really both hold that tefillah alone works. Ella, v'tav v'lomal kulei, I'm turning the page to my vav v'vez, v'tav v'lomal kulei amal lo pligi d'mahani, ki pligi b'mal v'lo taval. The whole machlokes is only with regards to milah and not tefillah. Rabbi Elazar yalef by milah and not tefillah, but everyone agrees that by tefillah but not milah, that it works. I mean, everyone has in Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, the chacham still hold that you need to have both. And also Rabbi Akiva, went through the price of Rabbi Akiva, who holds Ain done in Efsher Mishii Efsher, he would also hold that you need both. At least he would argue on Rabbi Yeshua. So then the Gemara has a whole discussion. How do we know about the concept of tefillah? I don't know about the concept of tefillah. And if you saw those Rishonim, you have to have that question where Yeshua proves that there's a concept of tefillah in the midbar. And then the Gemara asks, how do we know about tefillah by imahos? So if you hold that both, as the maskana of the Gemara does hold, that Rabbi Elazar holds a tefillah also, so the question is also in Rabbi Elazar, how do we know, that there's a concept of tefillah without milah, which is tefillah alone? So the Gemara says that it's based on a svar who didn't came, v'mandachosu tachas kanfei hashkina. That you need to have something. The Gemara has an assumption here that you need to have something. You need to have some sort of process, which is an interesting idea. You could have said that you don't need anything, especially if we're going to get to the Gemara later on. The Gemara later on is going to discuss the concept of Kabbalah Samitzos. If you hold, which is going to be a discussion later on, which I think most do hold, that you need to have Kabbalah Samitzos, so then you could have entertained the possibility that just Machshava alone, you'd be willing, the Kabbalah that you're taking upon yourself could suffice, but the Gemara doesn't assume that. The Gemara assumes that you need to have a certain process. And so therefore, you need to have tefillah by the imahos. Fine. So let's go on to the Gemara now. There's a lot of cheshbonos here in the rest of the Gemara here. So Amar B'chir Bar Abba, Amar B'chir Lo'olam Inoger Ad Sheyimol V'yitzvol. Now we have the opinion of the Chacham here. They need to have milah and tefillah. So the Gemara says, Pshita Yachav Rabim Halacha Ke Rabim. Of course, we pass on with the Chacham. They're the Rabim. The Gemara answers, no, man chachamim, who are these chachamim? It's Rabbi Yossi. It's not the Rabbim, it's Shita of Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, we have the following braisa. Haresha ba, ba'amar malti v'lo tavalti. A person comes to Beis Din, or they come to a rabbi, and they say, malti v'lo tavalti, they already did tefillah, but they didn't do tefillah. So Rabbi Yehuda says about tefillah, also ma'bikach. So just do tefillah. Do tefillah to the person. Rabbi Yossi says, no, amar, ein matvilan. Because we don't trust him, so therefore Eimat Bilan, he has to have the Milah and the Tefillah. So we see according to Rabbi Yossi, you need to have both the Milah and the Tefillah. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? One second. Rabbi Yehuda holds that just the tefillah alone would work. The Gemara then says, "Lefichach, matzbilin ger b'shabbos." Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Omer in matzbilin. The Gemara says, therefore, now that we know the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we can be matzbil ger b'shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can have tefillah on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi says, you can't do tefillah on Shabbos. Why can't you do tefillah on Shabbos for Rabbi Yossi? So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara later on. But because Rabbi Yossi holds you need to have milah and tefillah, they're both part of the ger's process, so therefore that can't be done on Shabbos. Anything which is part of the ger's process, that's part of the maisa of ger's, can't be done on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could do tefillah on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks,
you had a question?
I mean, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda also hold that Mila is important? We just trust the guy.
So that's a discussion about what exactly Rabbi Yehuda meant there. I don't want to get into it right now, but that's a discussion in the Rishonim that I just don't want to get into right now. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is what my main focus is going to be on right now. Omar Mar, let's just have my bill and Gerber Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't it obvious? Why does that have to tell me that? Kevin Dom Rehuda, Bechad Asagi, Hecha Dom Alofaninu, Matbilin, Mai Lefichach. What's the Lefichach? So the Gemara here assumes as a Pshita that Rehuda holds that if Mila alone works, so then Tvila alone also works. That's the assumption that the Gemara has. That if Mila alone works, so then Tvila alone would also work. So if you look at Tosos, Diver Masal Kevan, Tosa says, whose opinion is that? If Mila alone works, then Tefillah alone also works. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer Lamaskana. So Tosa asks, I understand, why is the Gemara assuming that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer? Maybe he holds like Rabbi Yeshua. Let him just hold like Rabbi Yeshua. What does Rabbi Yeshua hold? Rabbi Yeshua holds that Tefillah alone works, but Mila alone does not work. So why should the Gemara have the assumption that if you hold that Tefillah alone works, then Mila alone also works, like Rabbi Eliezer? No, there's another opinion out there, Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that tefillah alone works, but meal alone does not work. That's what Tosa says in Dira Masal Kevan. Kevan Damar Behuda, the Bechad Sagi, he says, Tema, the Parach Pshita, the Minale, the Sagi, the Mila Chuda, who says that Rabbi Yehuda holds that meal alone works? Dilma Rabbi Yeshua Savarle. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, the tefillah below Mila Mahani, Aval Mila below tefillah below Mahani, that tefillah without Mila works. But Mila without Tefillah doesn't work. Why would the Gemara assume, and it's its first assumption, that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer to assume that both work alone? Maybe he holds like Rabbi Yeshua. That's the question of Tosfos. So the Avnei Nezer wants to suggest the following answer. This is in the Avnei Nezer. Chelik Beis, everything that we quote from Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer is great. He's great in everything. He's especially great in Geiris. And for those who were in Shabbos last year, he was great in Shabbos also. It's in Beis Shin Mem Hei, Os Aleph to Beis. I can make copies for you if you want it. I'm sure they have an Avnei Nezer there also. Shin Mem Hei, Aleph to Beis, Os Aleph to Beis. So we started off with the question whether Rabbi Yeshua also requires Mila as a Lechatchila. So the Rav for sure would hold that you need Mila as a Lechatchila, perhaps even more than just the status of a Lechatchila. So for sure, according to the Rav, it would be either Lechatchila or even more than just a Lechatchila. The Avnei Nezer wants to say as follows. He says, how does Rabbi Yeshua know that tefillah works without Mila? From where? From imams, from women. So women, he says, what's the status of women? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in Chav Zayin Mon Aleph, he quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, says that women are nechshav kamahol. What's the status of women? Are women viewed as just having the equivalent status as somebody who's circumcised? There's no possibility for them to be circumcised, so therefore they're natural kamahol, they have the equivalent of somebody who just didn't have Mila whatsoever. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that women are natural kamahol. The Gemara also says, this is like the Nasri Kamala as opposed to being an Ara. So the Gemara also says that every Jew, even if they didn't have a Mila yet, they didn't have a Mila, they're not Nechshav Kamahol, and not Nechshav Ka'ara. They're not viewed as being an Arel, they're Nechshav Kamahol, they're also viewed as being circumcised. And every Goy, even if they had circumcision, is really viewed as an Arel. So really, the definition of an Arel, somebody who's not circumcised, really, a Goy, whether they had a Bris Mila or not, is viewed as an Arel. And a Jew, whether they had circumcision or not, is viewed as a Mahol. And a woman is also viewed as a Mahol, and not an Arel. The Gemara there is discussing the issue is, let's say you say, you take a neder, I don't want to get any hana, I don't want to get any benefit from somebody who's an Arel, or from somebody who's circumcised. So if you're a Jew, and let's say you say, I don't want to get any hana from somebody who's an Arel. So if you're a Jew, even if you didn't have circumcision yet, you're allowed to get hana from them because they're not an Arel. And from a guy, you're not allowed to get hana from. So that's what the Gemara says. So, every Jew is really viewed as Nechshav Kamahol, right? And every woman is also viewed as Nechshav Kamahol. So the Avni Nezer wants to say that really, according to Rabbi Yeshua, how do we know that tefillah alone works for Rabbi Yeshua from women? But women are Nechshav Kamahol. So really, Rabbi Yeshua holds that you need to have Mila and tefillah. You need to have both. It's just that women are Nechshav Kamahol. But you need to have both. Ah, but practically speaking, you don't have to have Mila. Right? He learns from women that you don't have to have Mila by men. But that's because men also, once you're Jewish, so then you don't have to have Mila because you're Nechshav Kamahol. Hold on. But so when would this make a difference? So there's a whole discussion. If let's say you are a Mumar Lamila, let's say you're somebody who you refuse to have Mila. You're a Mumar Lamila, you refuse to have Mila. So if you're such a person, so then as a Jew, you were born Jewish, but you're a Mumar Lamila, so then do you have the status of an Arel or not? Is there any Jew who has the status of an Arel? So the way we paskin is that, yeah, somebody who's a Mumar Lamila, so then they do have the status of an Arel. So the Avni Nezer wants to say that anybody who comes to convert without having the intentions of performing Mila, right? So that person is an Arel. And so therefore they can't convert. That's not a good conversion. Because you need to have Mila. You can't be an Arel. You need to have Mila. If you plan on having Mila, you don't actually have to have it in order to not be defined as an Arel. You just have to want to have it. As long as you want to have it, so then you're Nechshav Kamahol. That's what the Gemara says. Every Jew is Nechshav Kamahol, as long as you want to have it. And so therefore, you don't actually, that's not part of the process, but you just need to want to have it. But it doesn't have to be part of the process itself. As long as you want to have it, so then you're Nechshav Kamahol. And Rabbi Yeshua holds that you need to be Nechshav Kamahol. All women are Nechshav Kamahol. It's just that if you don't want to have it, so then you retain the status of an Arel. If you don't want to have Mila, so then you retain the status of an Arel. Everybody get that? Am I being unclear? Fine. So really, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's not just a lechatchila that you need to have Mila. Really, it's ma'akev, according to Avni Nezer. Avni Nezer is saying that it's ma'akev to have Mila, because women are also Nechshav Kamahol. You need to have Mila. It's just that in order to be defined as Mahol versus an Arel, from the Gemara, it's just a question of whether you are Jewish or not. And that question is just whether you want to have Mila or not. It might not be part of the process, the formal process of Geirus. That's what Rabbi Yeshua was saying. It's not part of the formal process of Geirus, because just like for women, it's not part of the formal process of Geirus. So for men, it's not part of the formal process for Geirus. But it is important to be Nechshav Kamahol, and the way you're Nechshav Kamahol is by wanting to have Mila. So comes the Avni Nezer, and we'll end with this, and he comes full circle, and he says as follows. Tosos asked, how do we know that this Geir who's coming to us is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that either Mila alone works or Tefillah alone works? Maybe this ger who says that I already did milah, now I'm coming to do tefila. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that what? All you need is tefila. So what's the Avin Nezer going to answer? The Avin Nezer answers Tosa's question by saying as follows. He says, no, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say that tefila alone works. Not true. Really, you also have to have the desire to do milah. Now here's the jump now that the Avin Nezer says. This is a big jump. The Avin Nezer says that Gershom, the ger who's coming, who says, Malti v'lo tavalti, says, I did milah, but I didn't do tefillah, he does not want to go ahead and do milah now. The fact that he said, I already did milah, means that he's saying, I'm not interested in doing milah right now. So if you're not interested in doing milah right now, so then you're an RL. You have the status of being an RL. So that's why it can't be like Rabbi Yeshua. Because Rabbi Yeshua holds that you need to have that desire to do milah. He concludes by saying, ah, how did Tosfos have the question to begin with? It's so pushy what I'm saying. So how did he have the question to begin with? It's because it's really a machlokas whether if you do not want to go through the process of mila, whether you're viewed as mahal or not. We paskin, in the end of the day, we paskin that you are an RL. If you do not want to do mila, then you are an RL. Tosfos holds that you are not an RL. Tosfos himself holds that no matter what, you're a Jew. Whether you want to go through milah or not, you're a Jew. So Tosfos has the question. But Avin Nezer says that for himself, then you don't have the question. But in the end of the day, ignoring this whole cheshbon, the point that I want to get out of this is that according to Rabbi Yeshua, there's different ways to understand Rabbi Yeshua. According to the Rav, for Rabbi Yeshua, it's on a lechatzila level, or perhaps even more so, you also require milah. Not just tefillah, but you also require milah. But you can say even beyond that. What the Avin Nezer is saying, just to get, there's a whole question behind the Avin Nezer, but the final point of the Avin Nezer is to say that Rabbi Yeshua really says that you need to also have milah. You need to be nefesh kamahol, because women themselves are also nefesh kamahol. So you need to also have that milah. The point of the Avin Nezer is to say that whether you're mahol or an RL depends on whether you desire to have milah or not. It might not be part of the formal process, and that's what Rabbi Yeshua is trying to tell us. It's not part of the formal process, but you need to have the desire to have milah to be nefshav kamahol. But really, Rabbi Yeshua holds that you need to have both stages as an ikod. You need to have both milah and tefillah. And women do have that. They have both milah and tefillah because they're nefshav kamahol. Men also have to be nefshav kamahol. And just the desire itself of performing milah fulfills that nefshav kamahol. We'll discuss, I don't have time, I wanted to get to it, but we'll discuss tomorrow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, whether he holds you need to have tefillah. If you already had milah, well, the tefillah is a lechatchila.